Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is stubborn and can receive it with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen. Praise God. On this series titled Faith or What? Faith or Folly. And you know, under the series, we just titled it Conversations That Matter. Conversations That Matter. Right? Why did I think that this was a good time to start teaching things like this? I said when we started the series that in recent times I've had very interesting questions that people have come to reach out to, you know, to ask me about. And there seems to be a consistency. Right? A consistency. We have lots of questions around how do people live a balanced life? A lot of times you see people that are very extreme. What I mean is you are doing well spiritually, but you're not doing so well maritally, for instance, or you're not doing so well financially, for instance, or you're not doing so well in your career, for instance, right? And we have some other people who are doing so well in their career, right? And they're not doing well maritally, and they're not doing well spiritually. And we're together, right? And we have so many people who are doing well, you know, financially, but they're not doing well educationally. You know, in school, then we used to have people who usually give excuse for failing because they were going to, what do you call it, Christian fellowship and all the likes. But the truth is that the only thing that is missing is that they've not sat down to have very sincere conversations with themselves. And I found that a lot of believers are also like that, right? More often than not, people go one extreme. And I'll give an example, for instance, in marriage, right? You know, people have come to agree that in marriage, the man is always the logical one, right? And the woman is the emotional one. Well, you know, it's not one or the other. You can be very logical, and yet your emotions are intact, right? You are very sensitive with the kind of words you use, how you talk. It can also be very emotional, and also what? Have a sense of logic in your reasoning, right? So we're trying to use this series to see from the little that we can, right, balance up all of these loose holes and gaps that lots of us have in our lives. So we said, you know, Jesus washed our sins away. We know that. Jesus washed our sins and forgave us our sins. But Jesus didn't wash our brains away. He didn't take our brains from us, right? So, and I told you something, that your brain was given by God. And God is supernatural. So it means that your brain is supernatural. Because God, who is supernatural, gave you a brain. So it means that if God, who is supernatural, gives you a brain, it means he wants you to use your brain. Are we together? He wants us to use our brain. He wants us to think. God gave us the ability to think. So it's not out of place to think, you know, like we have said over time, the opposite of faith is unbelief. The opposite of faith is not thinking. It's not planning. A lot of Christians live their life that way. That once you are in faith, don't plan. You want to build a house, you don't have a plan. Say, he who started the work in Zerubbabel, he is able to complete it. I mean, this is Zerubbabel, how do you say this? You know what I'm saying. Yeah? Who does the guy that work will finish it? What about planning? People don't like to plan. Yeah, I remember my dad, there was a man in church that time. You know, and my dad, I don't know, was he just teaching something like this? I just asked him, I just said, how many children do you have? He was like this. And the wife was pregnant with the sixth one. Right, and the truth is that there was no plan to take care of the children. You understand? You know, I feel like God is so intentional that he gave women 9 months to give birth. Because 9 months is a lot of time to be able to make plans. I believe that strongly. Now, I understand that in life, it's not easy to blame other people. That's why you find out people always either blame the government, blame the president, blame the minister. In your sphere, there's nothing that the president is influencing. You don't even influence anything. But it's very easy for you to say, the minister of this country, about taking ownership and being responsible for your actions, for your decisions. Right? We find a lot of Christians come to church to learn how to operate in the business world, for instance, and they go to their office to learn how to pray. Yeah, imagine you have a company, right? And you have that company. And in 10, in maybe you employ someone, and your work starts at 8 o'clock, and this brother or sister comes to work at 8 o'clock, and the person goes to the bathroom and starts shouting, we are grateful. So if you check the time, the person starts shouting, we are grateful, right? You go to 8:30, thank you, Lord, right? Go to 9 o'clock, the person is shouting, we can be at the end. You're like, what exactly are you doing? So we have Christians who don't know how to place their priority. Just business people know how to, you know, ensure that they are aligning their lives to be blessed in such a way that you need nothing so fast for anything, Right? And I'm not saying it's the easiest of things, but I believe strongly that if you are very deliberate, it's achievable. Very deliberate to achieve is achievable. And so, looking at the series, I was just trying to talk about career, marriage, finance, health, planning, some of the things around life generally. You know, I've said over time that life in the real sense, will not always give you what you think you deserve. Life is not a bed of roses. Are we together? Life is not a bed of roses. People just, people assume that everything should come to them. Like I said in scriptures, God gave Abraham a prophecy. There were words that went ahead of Abraham that he would have a child. But Abraham did not have to wait for the child to come. He had to sleep with his wife. And we're together, right? So God can give an instruction. There are things on your path. Say, God bless the works of my hand. God bless the work of my hand. Right? But what is the hand doing? That's the question. What is your hand doing? What have you learned to do with your hand? What exactly are you doing in the physical? The spiritual, the supernatural, right? And the natural, they are not opposites. That's why before you came here today, you brushed. That's not spiritual. Imagine you have a husband or a wife who says, I only brush as the spirit leads. How would you feel? Yeah, you two, you only respond as spirit leads. people just have some very, one extreme, approach. To the things of life. So life will always bring challenges and life will always bring tough situations to you. But as believers, there's a way we go through life. So sometimes you find yourself in the middle of the either or conversation. Is it that prayer or the word? Some people say, no, we don't study the word, we only pray. Have you seen people like that? Oh, this word does not. And there's many people. They only study the word, they don't pray. There are some, they only pray, they don't study the word. Yeah? No. The Greek word is homologio. The Hebrew word is tohubohu. The Greek word is, all the Greek words, specimen. You need everything. Right? Yeah? Like I always tell you, if you know the Greek word for prayer and you've not prayed. Yeah? Greek word, the Greek word of prayer, it does not mean you've prayed. Right? So instead of believers, they're either one extreme, prayer. The other one extreme, the word. The middle ground, both of them together. A man that knows the word will know to pray. Are we together? And a man who knows he wants to pray, he knows he has to pray aright by the word, through the word. So it's a combination. It's easy. Yeah? So you must ensure that you don't go any extreme. Just create the balance. Create the balance. Bring the balance to your life. Bring the balance to your life. In this series, somebody asked me, I said, Pastor, this is the series I've heard you say lots of things, naturally, because without, putting lots of scriptures. This, we've been opening the scripture. But go to our website. Eh? The what we have on our website, if you study it, is let me not say what I want to say. If you study it and study it and study it, you can start Bible school. I'm not talking joke. I know what you put there now. I know what you put on the website. Yeah? So we'll be talking, the Greek word for baptism. The Greek word for holy, What about the application to your day-to-day? You spend more time outside the church than in church. What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? How do you take care of your health? How do you take care of the things? Some of us, we just eat as we will. Yeah? Yeah? So how to create that balance is very, very important. Logic is not devilish. To be logical, it does not mean that you are devilish. The opposite of spiritual is carnality, not natural things. Yeah? The opposite of spiritual is carnality, not natural things. It's important to know. So what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Which you've looked at separately, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Very, very important. Very, very important. Very, very important. Right? Look at Romans 12, verse 1. Says, we beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies in living what? Sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. The scripture now says, do not eat conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Now, do you have renew of your mind? Is it renew or renewing? Renew is continuous. Of your mind. So is renewing once a day? No. Renewing is not once a day. Romans 12, verse 1. Renewing is not once a day. Renewing is a continuous definition of reading our word. Let me tell you, dear believer, you've got to renew your mind every day. Every second, even minutes. Yeah, you know, 2 weeks ago, we did that statistics, right? We asked people to bring out their phone, right? And we asked people to check the average number of hours you spend on your phone, right? And for some of us, it was 10. Some of us, it was 12. Some of us, we didn't even bother checking because we almost said 24. Right? But what are we trying to do with that? You cannot claim that your life is not progressing spiritually when you spend more time on social media. You cannot be arguing, fighting yourself. No. You just feel like this thing is just a thing. What are you saying? Right? And you spend 10 hours a day on Instagram, 10 hours a day on TikTok. You know, they always give you follow up in a topic. Yeah? You cannot finish content in this world. You cannot. There's always something to, you know, push you up, someone to promise to entertain you. Somebody that has been sleeping for 20 years, I just woke up this thing. Or somebody that just finished doing, or someone that's planning, there's always something. But what about how much time you spend renewing your mind? You can't renew your mind with social media. You have to renew your mind by the word. This one, hey, this will not let you know the path of your mind, but as you meditate in day and night. So what are you doing, intentionally doing to ensure that your thinking faculty is aligned to God's word? What are you doing to yourself that is ensuring that your thinking faculty is not regulated by the world, but by God's word? Very important. Very important. Very important. Yeah? So you need to ensure that you place yourself in a place where God's word regulates your life. It's the only way you're thinking from the beginning. There are things of this world that might sound logical, but they are unscriptural. The only way you can know that it is logical, yet it aligns to God's word, is when you meditate on the word. Meditation on the word, thinking on the word, pondering on the word. Yeah? It's good to read your Bible 20 times in a year. Are you meditating on the word? Are you meditating on the word? Are you paying attention to the word? Very, very important. There are lots of things that we will leave to God as the God of impossibility, but there are other things that are within the jurisdiction of possibility. It is your action. Right? It is you that will do it. It is you that will do it yourself. So religion is only bad when it defies God's word. Did you get that? Logic is only bad when it defies God's word. The question is, how do we even know it defies God's word when you don't even study the God's word? Yeah? Logic is only bad when it defies God's word. Right? But logic is something that God expects from you. You have a brain on your shoulder. You have a brain in your skull. To an extent, you think on things. Right? There are certain things you do, certain things you take away, you know, from your life. There are certain things you act. So you allow God's word to regulate your action, regulate your thinking. Right? You allow God's word to regulate how you view life. Very important. Very, very important. This word will dictate the pace at which you are moving. Very easy. Very easy. Very easy. You know, like I said recently, right? I started learning the art of dropping my phone in the... I mean, we checked my number of hours. What was it that time? Who remembers? On my phone. Okay? In averagely a day. Yeah? And I'm intentionally trying to bring that down. You know, there are some calls you don't have to pick. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah? My very good friends know me. Some of them know me. Right? I'm not obligated to pick every call. I have other things I'm doing in my life. I know people who, if I call right now, that call my last 2 hours. Right? I know those who usually my last 2 hours, I've, over the months, brought it down to 20 minutes. Right? Because there are other things I need to do with my life. You know, sometimes some of us who like to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk for a long time. That is when you begin to say the things you do not plan to say. So that is what I'm saying. It's just what it is. But no matter, like, what did I say? What I said? And you know why? Because a mouth that flows too much will always bring down something. So if you do, there's something that wants to come out. You can say something. Whether your hair is beautiful, you will just say something. What about regulating your tongue and putting your tongue under subjection? About bringing your tongue under subjection by regulating your tongue by using God's word to regulate your tongue. So, you know, right now, is that the word? Right? It's very, you know, people are in unnecessary competition. That's what I'm just trying to communicate. Right? Unnecessary competition. People are just using their lives to do so many things. Yeah, because you're competing with people. Money you're supposed to use to invest for your future. Use and go and buy a wig. Right? You know, if you have the money for a wig in your account, does not mean you can afford the wig. Did you hear what I just said? That you have the money in your account does not mean you can afford the wig. You get the point. Yeah? That's the point. Money you're supposed to be paying for your children, for your future. You don't use and buy a car. You now stand beside the car and say, Jesus is glorified always. Now, somebody else, you that you don't have where you are going to in life, you don't even know where you are going. You will not start getting, oh, that's my bosom friend, though. What did they get quick? You will not start soft-pedaling your heart to say, the first masquerade that comes out to dance usually is the spectator at the end of the day. Who asked you to parable? Who gave you a parable? I need that. Some of you that don't know, even festival, the first masquerade that comes out, if there are 20 masquerades, 19 after will come after him. The moment he finished performing, he becomes a spectator. You get the point right now. So I used to my friend say, this is my friend. You are the first masquerade. Why? And be the last masquerade. I'm trying to say that there is nothing in the Christian faith that promises material prosperity. So it means that the Christian should early enough learn about contentment. How many billionaires do we have in the world? How many are devoted Christians? How many are pastors? So it means that people will be a billionaire. And I'm not teaching you not to be a billionaire. You know, if you know me very well, you know I strive to be something in life. At least. Right? But everybody will get why there are different factors that affect the kind of money you can even have. You can be building something right now, be building a portfolio, and one man will wake up with one news. And that changes everything you want. That's life. Right? So you must learn to get yourself in that place where you're trying to compete, when you're trying to. So people are just very competitive. There's a difference between being giving and being competitive. It's not every congratulation that they mean it from their heart. Yeah? I'm so happy for you, it's not true sometimes. It's not every time it's true. I'm so happy for you is a statement that can come out naturally based on what is happening that is good. You have people, they will say, I'm so happy for you. The moment they turn their back, they will say, look at his big head. See her big head. She'll be doing as if only God has blessed. I didn't tell you. I told the leaders. There's a member of church who saw me come down from my car. I started insulting him. I told the leaders, we are also more than that. He had to beat. So I finished preaching one day. Came and he knelt down beside me. I said, Pastor, please forgive me. For almost 5-10 minutes, was begging me, please forgive me, Pastor. Forgive me, for I don't know what you did. Before he now even brought gift offering. How do you call it? Seed offering. You get the point. Say, Pastor, please forgive me. He was going to give me offering before he told me what he did. Yeah? And once I just turned about, saying, what he said to me, saying, Pierre is a carry big head. You know, he told me what he said. She has been carrying big head, but just they jump, like, say, he just came down to church to preach God's word. He's from the church. And my head is big. I don't allow that those words to make me to determine how I continue my life. Thank you, sir. That's okay. But what is making me go forward in life is not what you said to me. Because my proving to go forward in life is not from you. So if another person has been waiting for people to, just for people to say things to you, life validates with you with their words. Life would always put you in trouble. They can shout, give 10,000, sell 10,000. They will shout everything. And so why the fake life? You've not put knowledge in your head. You are using wig to cover it. No, that's what we plan to do in this series now, to be factual. And I'm not apologetic for anything. Yeah? Because we owe ourselves these truths. Nobody has to tell you now. You are pricing wig of £5 million. I know there's no wig of £5 million, but you get the point. So, we're putting our eyes And I'm giving the head. I just to do something. You just want to. You're not doing well around you. You're not comfortable in your skin. You're not comfortable in your skin. Yeah? Faith or folly. Is that not the series we are doing? And we will say it together now. Yeah? That's what we are doing. So, dear saints, be very intentional about making the decisions they take. So, that you don't need to own yet. You don't need to be yet. You are using iPhone 17, I'll be iPhone 19. And you are showing it off to disturb everybody. You are, imagine you are bragging in front of a man using Tecno, who is building his fifth house. He said, I just bought this phone. Help me just snap me. Right? It's like you want to sleep on iCloud. It's not because build house. You can build a house on the cloud. Yeah? What am I saying? You can be very intentional. I'm intentional about my life. I heard of a story. Pastor Shek was talking about a story of a man. The man, he went, they asked him to go and deliver a car. Listen to what I'm about to say. They said, go and deliver this car from point A to point B. But he knew where his friends were gathered. So he drove the car to the front of the gathering and did boom, 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 boom. Unfortunately, his car was to drive to the front of them. Unfortunately, as he was going, car hit him. And they asked him to go and deliver. Yeah? He now came and started wishing that was the one that got injuries. The car. I wish it was just my head that just cracked. Why? Because the car of time was driving, was very expensive. Look at this, is whatever. So the people who was trying to show up were the ones that contributed money for him to repair the car. Who are we deceiving? This is not necessary. Look, you can be behind the scene, right? And actually have a good life going for you without, you know, trying to oppress, trying to show people. You know, and that's why for me, even as a pastor, I'm very intentional. I don't keep so many friends like this. Yeah, our friends, I know the kind of things they've asked me to be doing. You don't know how to do it. We know how to do it. Shatter is in our blood. We can do shatter. You know what they call shatter? Shatter is the Greek word for throw off. We can do shatter. To what end? You need food. You don't want people to know you are hungry. Yeah, but you come and feed. No, and there's a way. I don't understand there's dress in a way you'll be addressed. I understand those words, but know where to draw the line. People are supposed to be begging to give you money. You are trying to show them you've arrived. People are supposed to put yourself in their sphere for them to actually see how they can help your life and your future. They're trying to show them when the states last week. Which states? We went to the states last week in Bahamas to go to the Bahamas. Somebody is supposed to say, please touch my head. I need your anointing. Even if it's an unbeliever, say, no, it's not necessary. We're together. Right? So, what I said is, don't use money to impress anyone. Don't try to use the money you don't have to impress the people who are around you. It's not necessary. Yeah? You see, in our generation, people borrow money. In faith or folly, let me ask you a question. Faith or folly, you borrow money to do wedding. Faith or folly? It's not me that said it's you. You borrow money to do first year birthday for your child. Faith or folly? You borrow money to do funeral. Because your best friend did funeral that they love. You say, I want to honor my parents in their, and you don't have the money. I want to honor their parents in their death. When they were alive, they were nowhere more than one ankara. You know, ankara is a Greek word for kind of material from where I come from. You did not give me my life to want to sit in the head. You should not be so black. It's impotent, beautiful, man. Let it touch that tree. You collect. Some people use, you know, some people, they know they shut down. Some people use loan app to pay other loan app. But it's the reality. You borrow from, say, ourselves, microfinance. But so I saw start sending a picture to all my printers. If you want this to be my content, remember I go for Mapo and Sons and pay for Sin and Son some people are so nice to see you. You want to connect for you, just keep rolling that way. Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to impress? When the thing really gets to you, it will choke you. People will take loan to do a wedding. What exactly are you trying to show off? If you can take money out of money, bless your heart. Or when you, I was telling you of a man a few weeks ago who was already, you know, talking about Pastor Shimolo, who was talking about he has bought his 24th apartment for his grandchildren. 24th. He will now do party. You want to equate with him. You now go and borrow from Barclays. You put your car as collateral, you put your house as collateral, even put your children as collateral. You don't carry, come and carry everything in the whole house. Artists, they will dance. You see, you wear white. Must you live life that way? There are some of us, we don't need to celebrate our children in their first year birthday. You cannot afford it. Buy it or not in your house, eat it, snap yourself, put it beside the sink. You don't need anybody to validate you. 1 month birthday, you celebrate. 1 year birthday, you celebrate. 2 year birthday, you celebrate. 10th year birthday, you celebrate. 15 years, and I'm not against celebration. Yeah? Now, I was privileged to walk my sister down the aisle over the weekend, right? And you know, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I know that I really represented my father well. What do we do? We go, no matter how much food we cook, even they did food for maybe 30 people. Out of the 30 people, in my household alone, one complained the salt is too much. One complained the pepper is too much. One complained say it's not too soft enough. Within 30 people. I'm trying to say, no matter how much you eat, people don't like ice cream. It's not ice cream to please anybody, but I'm not saying even ice cream. The people that don't like ice cream, the people that think when they take ice cream, sorry, I'm not saying even ice cream. I don't satisfy everybody. You know, when we stay, there's this boss that always bring ice cream. So my wife taught us. She said she learned something online. So she said she saw a family. So they notified their children. Anytime you hear that ice cream boss, it means that the ice cream has finished. Nice one. He's not here. He's a nice one. Say, baby, anytime you hear the ice cream, say that to me. So every time that the man just do go, go, go. You know, say, oh, they finish today again. Don't worry, tomorrow, keep an eye. You don't need to impress anyone. Yeah, if you have the money to shut down the neighborhood and shut down the nation or shut down the country to do any wedding, do that, that's fine. But don't be borrowing money to do those things that are very ridiculous. After you finish the wedding, you spend £50,000 to who and who? I mean, they don't even talk of town, say, does not pass one day. Who does talk of town that lasts for a year? Who does talk of town that 1 year they're talking about it? You should not shut down. That's okay, like I said, if you have different, all the forms, make sure that you're very, you know, wise in how you see the use of money. Are you together? Yeah? You want to propose, you borrow money. Yeah, and my brothers, let me tell you, don't allow any lady pressure you on the kind of ring you should buy. My ring and my wife's ring, we still wear today. We are 4 years plus now. We still wear this. It's 50,000 naira. This one and I own together. I'm not saying I'm not married. I don't want to add the appeal. Let me not look like I'm trying to hide them. Because my auntie said I'm happily married. 50,000 ring, join us together. 50K. This one, I'm not saying I'm married and I own together. I even look for discounts. When I got there, I said, please, can you make it 35? I gave her contact. Oh, yes, I'm not sure. Remember, I gave her contact. So imagine my wife. And that's all my new from him. You cannot expect pressure to carry this guy. Oh, I don't used to bear to pressure. Yeah, I know. I can walk under pressure. So, this pressure to vlog. If I'm not afford it, I cannot afford it. Right, I even know how to be there when I bought the ring. So nothing will make my taste bud to increase. I went behind that, bought it. If I didn't even bought it, my car spoiled. This is how many years down the line. What I'm talking about 5-4 years ago is what I'm talking about today. Imagine if I was saying no, because my friend got a ring of 1 million naira, 2 million naira. Who am I impressing? 1 million naira, and that they will put the ring in their streets and beat you. put your attention on these things that fade. Somebody said, I was telling my brother a few days ago, he said, my suit was super. I said, look at it. Where is it? Like a pre-money. Bless your heart, if it makes you happy. But don't I look good? Primark. This one is you people that gave me last week as birthday gift. It's the Primark shoe card I've added. You can Primark also. Why am I buying H&M when I cannot afford it? Go and buy your H&M. I tell you, my wardrobe, the most expensive things in my wardrobe are gifts. Anything I buy, the only clothes that I've not bought any clothes with my money, that's when I Primark. I'm saying, why don't you go have any fracture with you so you can know that you don't have to spend money to look good? See, for example, I don't do anything other than Dolce and Gabbana. Is it a bit of a Cubana? No, I don't. If you have the money, that's fine. Because somebody who wears it, doesn't mean it's not. So if you, I walk you down now, I'm not more than 100 pounds. I don't even wear the shoe, so. I'm very sure this is more than all the clothes I'm wearing. Are you with me? Learn not to live a life to impress anybody. Very important. If you don't get anything from this series, get this one. Don't be in a key. Unhealthy competition. Don't be driving, you bought this one today. You bought the second one today. You bought this. Somebody say, I've not been able to sleep since that guy bought his house. You need drugs, though. I cannot sleep, you know, because, you know, I just feel like we're wrestling together. You know, if everybody start cooking rice together, it's not the same time everybody's rice will be done. When I cook rice, when my wife cooks rice, the same stove, the same pot. When my own is ready, her own is not ready because she does slow cook. Me, I cannot do slow. I don't have patience for slow cook. Once I own it, it's the high. You know, it's right on the highest. You still want to put it on the highest. Yes. Then I do my own. The rice has dried. Water is dry. I serve my food and I eat. So I start to first measure the rice. Put it. Put water. Measure the pot. Measure. Put everything. Put on slow. She just starts cooking the rice by opening the pot. So she'll put the bubble, 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 bubble. And I'm hungry. I'm going to time. Listen to you, please. I beg you, descent. Ensure you have a regulation to how you live your life. Don't live an a very hypocritical, as hypocritical life, I'll call it. Don't live in, is it nine or AA? Don't live a life that's hypocritical. Just stay with that one. Or that is pretentious. You know, school is not necessarily something. Very important. Very important. Yeah? We grew up learning to cut your clothes according to your size. Sometimes it's not right. Cut your clothes according to your material. Some of us need to slim down. Yes, we need to beat the gym and slim down because your size is blowing with a lot of, you know, praises. You know, praise, yeah, is like balloon. They will praise you. The moment, I'm not saying that everybody is, I'm not saying don't take everybody's praise like that. But you know, there's some things some people don't know is that, as a believer, you are very discerning. You can know when people just spoke about you. I've walked into a house, let me not talk about that. You can know when people just discern about you, when people just said something about you. You will not know. It is different though. But you just know. But this person just said these terrible things about me. But it's okay. My wife was saying something to me a couple months ago. She was like, my wife has seen people lie to me to my face. So one day she saw the consistency of my emotion. She called me one day and said, how do you keep a straight face when people lie to you? I said, well, so what should I do? I sense you are lying. No, it's not necessary. He just knows how I will rate you tomorrow. You chew the praises of men like chewing gum. Chew it and throw it away. Even Jesus, they came, he said he came to save. Eventually they killed him. I will learn something today. Yeah. So learn to know. So I'm going to do another teaching on money and how to use money particularly. But you know, like I said, this series we are doing, all our teachings, there will not be any service we'll come together and we'll emphasize on something. Maybe today we'll do something around that. But anyhow it comes, we just allow it to flow. You know, from part of the world where I come from, there's something called Asho, Ibi, Abi. Is that correct? Is that correct? Yeah. The one that people used to sow much here. You know, you don't have to buy for everybody. Let me tell you something, dear saints, and I think I want you to note this down. Learn to be okay with people not inviting you for things. Learn to be okay with it. Learn to be okay with when people tell you no to things. Learn to be okay with it. You know, there's a sense of entitlement a lot of times we have, and it's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for us. Learn to be okay. Learn to be okay. Right? Huh? There are people, for instance, tomorrow, till tomorrow, they will not tell me congratulations on my, maybe my childbirth or even my marriage because I did not tell them. And bless your heart. Bless your soul. You see, violation of men is something you fight against as a man. I mean a human being. No, fight against it. Fight against it. I told you of a lady who, after 8 years, I've wished her happy birthday every year for 8 years. Like, if you look through our chat for 8 years, all our chat is me wishing her happy birthday every year. This year, I didn't wish her happy birthday. She messaged me around 11 p.m. in the night. Pastor, I've not gotten your birthday wish. Somebody who I will compose message and be praying for her, she already tell me, amen. You know how they say amen? Amen without E. A-M-N-M-N. Things. T-Z. Yeah, and I continued doing that for 8 years. When I did it, I told you last year, I had to take out a lot. I took out over a thousand birthdays for my calendars. Why? Because in the reason, how many people can I keep up with? As you grow, you begin to know some things. How many people can I keep up with? I didn't call you. You didn't call me. I did not pick. You know, why should you be petty with somebody and say, my friend didn't call me? I know the president. People don't even call the president every day. It's been a while. The last time I used it's been a while for someone was probably 10 years ago. It's not been a while. We've not just spoken before or in a long time. We're speaking now. Let's continue. It's been a while. You just forgot me. I forgot you. We were saying, if you'll be forgiving, if someone has forgiven, you someone you should forget. That means he remembers you now. I'm supposed to be happy with that. You just left me and left you there. You make it look like, you know, when you say somebody left you there, it sounds almost bad. As if I left you in a bad place. He just left me there. This life is not like that. I don't understand. If someone does not message you, you miss the person, message them. Life is not hard. Life is not complex. Let me say that differently. It can be hard sometimes, but it's not complex. Right? Anything you know that you know, you will give yourself peace of mind with. Somebody accused me a few years ago saying I did not post them on their birthday. Meanwhile, I posted them on my other number. Right? You know, and in my head, I'm like, oh well. Maybe I'm pastoring and she expects more from me. But the truth is, why do you feel fulfilled on your birthday when people post you? Is it okay to post people? It's fine. It's good to celebrate people. You know, we did that on Wednesday. What was our serious emphasis on Wednesday? Remember? Relationship. Did I caution us about how we deal with relationship? Yeah, remember that teaching, right? We spoke about some of you that don't used to reply to people's message. I said, that's how I am. That's not how you are. It's bad character. Someone message you. 5 days after, you know, you just somebody message you, how are you doing today? I just wanted to check on you. 5 days after, you don't even say, oh, I'm so sorry, I missed your message. I'm doing well. Hope you are fine. Just say, I'm good. Oh, the person who now that messages to check on you, when I say, how is work going? Work is good. Oh, thank God. Oh, how do you manage relationships? It's important. I'm trying to say, don't at the expense of trying to manage relationship think you can please everybody. Very important. Learn it quick. I love relationship management. I'm very big on relationships. Very, very big. But you know, a time comes you realize that you cannot please everybody. I learned something today. So thinking is godly. There are matters in life you think front. You think big. You think front. You think back. You think side. Proverbs 21 verse 2. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Or 22, verse 1. I'm sorry, I said 22, verse 1. There are things you do today that will affect the course of your lineage. There are things you do today. In what Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, let's read together as a church there, saints. 1, 2, 3, go. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A loving favor rather than silver or gold. A good name. A good name. Right? You know, there are things you do. There are things my father has done that have set and opened certain doors for me. Right? So it means that the actions that you take, you know, when I was going to school, I remember when I was going to school, my father made me to write a letter and sign. That in this school, you remember my mommy? My mom still sent me the letter. This was, you know, years ago, about 10 years ago, definitely. You know, so I signed the letter. What did the letter say? My name's my name is Joshua Yusuf. I'm a son of Pastor Amos Yusuf. And I write this letter today and promise you that I will leave the school with flying colors and I will not bring shame to your name. And I said, you know, that letter had a way of keeping me safe and sane. Right? When my dad went to drop me, you know, drop me in school and all of that, I would say, remember the child of whom you are. Remember. Right? What was my dad trying to say to that? There's a name my dad has started in his generation. And I have the responsibility of preserving that name so that I can give it to my children. You know, there are names when you mention that as your son name, it closes the door. And there are names when you mention, you say, your father was that man. I told you about the story of my wife, right? And I got married to my wife, right? And my mother-in-law saw me for the first time. I said, are you related to that man? I said, that's my father. I was like, your father? Only for her to narrate that over a decade ago, my dad was the one that rescued her from losing her life. She said it in those words. A good name. Imagine my dad at 2 a.m. going to rescue a woman and a child and her children in the house. Right? I know, brought her back to life, you know, agile and astute. So my wife remembers the man that walked in that day. But when I was even dating her, she didn't even know who the man was because she was younger then. But look at it, here's the line. Their name. There's something my father would have done to our mother. That the moment she says, are you the son of that child? She will call the daughter and say, if I see you close to that man, I will curse you. You know people say that? If I see you close to that man, I will curse you. What are the actions you are doing? Are you thinking through your actions well? Are you thinking through your actions well? Very important. So reason through your decisions. Reason through your actions. Sometimes reason through your decisions. Because the inactions have voices as well. Reason through your actions. Reason through your inactions. There are things today that you are doing that will affect the path of your children. There are things you are doing today that will not. You might have lived above the age where it can affect you. But what about the people behind you? What about your children's children? Yeah? Very important. Proverbs 29, 2 chapters or 3 chapters, 4, 5, 5, 5 or 6, chapters, after 20. So look at Proverbs 29, verse 20. I'm hoping you're learning something today. Proverbs 29, verse 20. It says, seest thou a man that is what? Hasty in his words. There is more hope of a fool than him. I like the Bible. I love the Bible. It tells us as it is. Seest thou a man who is hasty in his words? Who is a man who is hasty in his words? The man that what does not think before he talks. Or you can say he talks what? Too much. You know what the Bible says? He says, there is more hope for a fool. Yeah. There's more hope for a fool than him. That means first, you're a fool. But you know, let me just be very naughty. So it means that there are categories of foolishness. So you can be in the same WhatsApp group of fools, and they will seclude you and say your own is advanced foolishness. First class foolishness. Don't be hasty with your words. Don't be so quick to always talk. You know, I'll look at James 3 next week, right? The power of life and death, like Proverbs will tell you, is in the what? Tongue. Your tongue. How do you use your tongue? You know, you can use your tongue to give positive words. You know, words are enough to quench the life of a man. Like I'll tell you now, we were addressing marriage, I think, 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah, imagine your husband. He wears suit in the morning, he's going out to work. You now look at him, and look at him. He thinks he's going some. He thinks there's something his neighbor is going to give in that office now. Mm-hmm. See him. You say, look at him. He thinks there's something he has in his head. Let him be going. He will come back and meet me here. You know, that's how people, some people talk. We read the story of Abigail and Nabal. Remember what happened? Abigail said, there's foolishness in the life of my husband. He says, we beg David, don't destroy our family because of the foolishness of this man. Don't destroy our family because of the foolishness of this man. It means there's a way you will talk and everybody will know that's foolishness talking. You know, not everybody is brave enough to say you are foolish. But when people are foolish, people know. So, reason through your words, reason through how you think. That's why Romans 12 is very important. Do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say today, I will not allow the world dictate how I live my life. I will allow God's word regulate how I live my life. So, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, the continuous renewing of your mind. Right? So, is faith the opposite of being logical? No. What's the opposite of faith? Unbelief. Yeah? So, if I ask you, which one should you use to approach life? Faith or being logical? It's a cooler bowl. It's a cooler bowl. Yeah? You know what it is? It's a combination of both. Yeah? So, someone can tell you, I want to get married to you. Right? There is nothing wrong in saying, let me pray and think about it. Are we together? Let me pray and think about it. Or as a man, for instance, you want to marry a woman. The woman already tells you that from time, like I told you, I don't want to give birth. You, in your mind, your idea of family is that you want to have 7 children. That is your idea of family. You know, from the get-go, she has already given you and told you what she will not, what she does not, maybe say she doesn't want her shape to change. Right? You know, people have different reasons. Right? I don't want my shape to change. So I'm going, are you ready to adopt? You know, I say, no, let's come together. We'll meet in the middle. You now go and marry. Now we pray for her to move or pray for her to change her mind. Say, God will touch her. What if she's praying that God will touch you too? Because the prayer can go both ways. You can be praying that God will touch her, and you can be praying, and she can be praying that God will touch you. So there's some things you will just think that, I know I want to have children. Not, if you say you don't want to have children, that's your own. That there's nothing wrong in that. There's no law that says, you know, I mean, people always can give the argument about that. But I mean, you can choose whatever you want to do with yourself, right? Yeah, but you must always know that you must also always remember that you must allow the world regulate how you think, right? So if you say, I remember there was a couple that reached out to me. Their major issue was that the woman said she wants to bear her father's name, right? You know, and they knew before they got married, right? But what happened? He kept wishing that what will happen, that she would change her mind. Eventually, they got married, and she said, no, I wasn't going to change my mind. You were not wise enough. If it's so much of a big deal, if you like, take your wife's name, that's your business. Right? Choose what you want with her, just meet in a middle point. Yeah? If your husband is keen and saying, no, can you throw a good man in the bin because of son name? Sometimes when you even look at the son name is not even some. Let me not sound what I want to say. The son name is not so. Yes, and then why exactly? Like, this woman that has everything you want, and you're saying, no, I don't want to because, you need to open your eyes to know that, oh, I don't think I can go far with this person. Look for somebody who will change their own name to your first name. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, go and look for the person that is ready to change their name and move on. Life is not usually that complex. You know, sometimes we stay on that boat because a lot of us think that there's one rib of somebody's rib. You know, this is the rib of my rib, so we must marry. Some of us, you know, we have different school of thought when it comes to this choice of marriage. Some people believe that God has a good will for them. What do you call the next one? Not even the Roman story I'm talking about, goodwill, acceptable. Right, it is all in the category of permissive and all those perfect will as well. But Romans would teach that's good, acceptable, and perfect. So you say, maybe he's doing well spiritually, but he doesn't have any inclination towards money. He might be good for me. Then you see, brother, who has an inclination towards family and you know, and what do you call it, and spiritual things, we're like, well, it is acceptable to God. But one that is perfect is the one that is spiritual. Then what? family oriented, then it's career and last money. Yeah, this God's perfect for me. You can't afford to choose like that. You are dating somebody. In your first fight you had, the guy tore his shirt. You two to show that you are from where they brought you. So you know that sometimes as a counselor, as a pastor, when you counsel people, just you know it's not always right as a pastor to just say you go your separate ways, except when there are critical issues. You know, but sometimes you just be like, why did you get married? Your first argument, you know, when you are dating, you are putting your best show forward. So, you know, you can be dating me that somebody upset you. Just give me water. You drink water and swallow it. Maybe it was the first upset. Maybe you even came to the person's house and maybe you drop your shoe at the entrance or you just did not arrange it. You know, this one is problem. And you now decide to go ahead and marry. Right? You know, some people, I always tell people, couples, before they get married, the day you get married, everything changes. The day you get married. Let's assume that before you got married, you've not started cooking efo and beans. Every week I'll be doing meal prep in your boyfriend's house. Right? Yeah? And you'll be sleeping over. I'll be spending the weekend. I'll be doing getaway. Some Christians are not even ashamed of yourself. You're a leader in church. You are doing getaway with your boyfriend. Are you not? Is that not foolishness? Are you still want someone to give you position to lead prayer? Some of the things I say, I'm not talking about things I hear from places or the things that happen within the local church. They don't get away. You still do content on the getaway. Only you and the person that travel. The person will video you and move with you. Now go and open the curtain. Eh? And the person will now be videoing you. I say, stop now. And it's only one room you rented, though. You're on a mission. Eh? Are you now posting? There are some things that should be in your privacy. Like I always tell you, why are you videoing yourself praying? Majority of people who video themselves praying don't have a prayer life. You slept. You woke up normally. Your alarm already rang. You put off your alarm. You stand up. You go and set your camera. Go back under your duvet and set another alarm. Then the alarm now rings. You now stretch under the duvet. You are awake. Oh. You now stretch under the duvet. You now tap the alarm. And now pull voice over. This is how I wake up in the morning. You now go beside the bed. You now kneel down. I start with prayer. It's not true. Come, let's show you how to pray. Imagine when we call for our rekindle meeting here. How many of you have energy to record yourself? Imagine you are doing 6 hours prayer. You're coming here to come and record yourself. Or imagine you're doing 20 hours prayer. Eh? You know, when we usually have leaders retreat, for instance, sometimes you just see some of our leaders, you know. You see how they are tired. If you are really praying, you cannot video yourself. You kneel down beside your bed. Who are you showing it off to? See, let us know that you are prayerful when we see a man that is mad walking around and you just say, hey, come here. Madness out. My dad was in Mountain of Fire one day. I was walking into the church and a madman took the knife of Misuya and was chasing people around. A madman. All men with their suit, all kinds. They started running. You know, in that kind of thing, remember the Bible says flee from every appearance of the devil, right? Running is supernatural. I'm going to talk about it as well. I understand that. And my dad, there's something my dad knew, and he knew he had done. My dad was somebody who gave his life to prayer. When they gave birth to me, he was praying in the mountain. When they gave birth to my sister, he was praying. When they gave birth to my brother, he was praying in the mountain. My mom was gisting me about how she gave birth to my sister. And she was living in a family house like that, you know. And she just kept me to just go and be playing. I just carried one of her bags, went to the hospital. She trekked from the house to the hospital to go and give birth. My dad was not at home. So somebody can look at that and say, my dad is responsible. But I can tell you for free, with the relationship I have with so many people, my dad is one of the most responsible men I've seen. I know when I tell you the kind of thing, I'm not making noise, though. I'm a very social person. I won the award of most social student out of almost 12,000 students. So I knew people's parents. Most of my close friends, I've not seen my parents more than once in 15 years. And my father was the one that always come and pick me. My dad would come and surprise me in school. My dad was too handsome. So the good thing, because my dad was not there when they gave birth to me, is irresponsible. You are very faithful. You were sitting there? But such a responsible, hands-on man. So I'm saying that my dad was a hands-on prayer man. Whatever he sees today is a result of what he has done in the place of prison. From prisonness to full chest. No going back. No, no. It's already too late. Oh. It won't make sense. So there's some things my father cannot have seen me do. I know he will not be happy. Some things he can't see me do. He won't be happy if he says, if I allow some things to just happen. That's it. So he went into the church and he asked the man, he said, bring that knife down and come right here. And the guy walked there, kneeled down beside him, and handed over the knife to my dad. That man does not need to show you he prays in the night. You will know. Even by the mosquito on his body, you will know, says the prayer man. But here's the thing, you know, I always tell you, see some churches, somebody will carry a tripod like this to church. You're about to start praying, you set it down like this. You lift your hand small, you cry small, you go and check. You say recording, boom. You now go back and I say, the YouTube will now do what you now video it. And I say, when I go to church today, the problem I have with those settings are the pastors and the leaders. You know, I always tell you, why do I always tell you these things? Yeah, so that then you try it and I change it for you, you know that it's not against you. Right now, you be in the church, Sister Vin finished singing. You come and kneel down beside them and propose. You, the pastor and the church, the founder of the church, you need to go to Bible school. That's just a patient way of saying what I wanted to say. So, if you need to worship, you are kneeling down with roses. We will burn the world. Why am I saying like this? So, if you try it here, you know, I don't take nonsense. So I'm very patient, but there's some nonsense we don't take. We have a sense of regret for the local church. What propose to your wife? What for the car park? Respect my service because you want to propose. As who? As a pastors too, some of the pastors will now bring out their phone and the video. Oh, so touching. Like, I mean, you work with media team. Now work with media team in the middle of the church. Some men say, or lessons in the local church. But I can say, falling in love with you. I need to unite like that. And you did your knees the night before. You did your knees. That means you knew something was happening. You wore fine girl and wore it. You did your knees before. Maybe you skip something separate. You come to church, what do you come with? Come with your Bible. You come with your answer at the house. Right? Don't come with clipboard. I just love spending time. I'm asking in the affair of his love. Yeah? And you video yourself a part. Yeah? Who are you deceiving? God help us! In Proverbs 12, it says, the ways of a fool seems right to him. That means there's some things people do that are foolish, but the reason why they don't know is because sometimes they are not told sometimes. And that's why we say these things the way we say them. We say it the way we say them, right? So that you don't mix it up. When you're coming to church, you are serious. Have you ever seen them propose to somebody in a mosque or in a shrine? Even those people value their meeting places more than you. How many of you, the baba just come from behind with one leg and one stick, and somebody is kneeling down? That stick is what they use to break your knee. You know, you see these things before. We don't allow nonsense to happen in the church and feel like, you know, there's liberty in the church. What normal? If somebody starts proposing, you know, I told you one day I saw a video of a man. You know, there's a, it's not that I am crazy. It's God I am crazy. You understand now? Yeah. And one brother went to the stage and carried the pulpit and started running. They praise. I don't blame him. He's his pastor, I believe. Imagine you come here and come and carry just take a picture. We're in God's palace. Somebody is just praising here and just telling you, pop here, just like we're not pushing you. The thing to do is to call ambulance. Just because the person is supposed to be having something wrong somewhere. But you know, when the pastor already saw that sometimes they carry pastor's chair. So if you carry pastor's chair, you know, they always say it's from dance you enter clap. Sorry, the other way around. It's from clap, you enter dance. You know, you start playing music here. First thing you do is this. But the moment the thing gets in your body, it will let loose. Yeah? It's from those little things you tolerate, it will boomerang. And when things start happening disorderly in the local church, you will not know how to curb it again. Why are you carrying the chair to rejoice? Why? Why? Chair is on his own. Why are you carrying the chair to rejoice? Did he not rejoice this morning? Did he need to carry a chair? He didn't need to. Huh? He didn't need to. So there's order in the local church. There's order in the local church. All together. Glory to God for So putting that balance is very, very important. I'm going to use the next 10 minutes each, 15 minutes each, talk about something very important. So we're going to talk about the act and art of mentorship. I'll just talk about that in the next few minutes. I'm calling today. You know, in my generation, it's very easy to not want to be accountable. You know, very easy to not want to be accountable, right? And at this point, let me just even say this as well. Thank you all for the, you know, celebration of last week, the birthday celebration, the gifts. Like I said, I'm wearing one of it, and I feel so, so happy and excited to have you as a family. You know, but there's something that someone said, you know, maybe one or two of you said, you know, last week. I was like, what was I going to say about it again? What did I say before I said thank you? Mentorship. Yeah. Two or three of you, I can't remember, one of them, or maybe some of you said it. You said that I'm always watching, and because I'm watching, you know some things not to do. Do you remember that statement? Yeah, that's what true mentorship is. Some of us, we like to form an idea of mentorship, and your mentor is someone that is far off from you, that you don't even have their number, or doesn't even know what you are doing. You can have a role model, and you can have a mentor. Your role model is not always going to be your mentor, or might not always be your mentor. But you can have some people who are good at being mentor, or good at mentoring, and they are your role models. Right? You know, that's what true accountability stands for. Whereby as a church, you are sure that pastor will see this thing. A pastor will call me to order. Right? It's the same way we went to school. If my father should hear this, where will I start from? It's a sense of accountability. But some of us in our generation, we just want to just live life on our own. No one can correct you. I'm like, you know, I told you before, one sister like that was, you know, wanted to bring the issue of their, you know, relationship to me and everything. And the husband told her, if you like, go and tell pastor, you and pastor will beat you together. Right? They did it to my dad, they did it to me. It's transgenerational. Yeah, I can remember mentioning one of the things that, you know, happened while I was growing up. One of the things that makes me look like I'm, you know, able to handle some things in ministry is because my father brought me up to speed on these things from young, very young. Yeah, there's some people, there are some that are living in National Hospital. If I say this, you remember, National Hospital, right? You know, I say, you and your pastor will eat you together, nothing will happen. You know, once you start entering those territories, you're in trouble. And let me tell you, it didn't start yesterday. Before you married, how can you want to marry a man? You don't know who that man is submitted to. And that's a trouble now. And there's nobody that can call you to order. But you know, your mentor doesn't want you using money to pamper what they will say. That will change it for you. I just imagine me wanting to mess up. And my wife just says, I will tell mommy for you. I will tell pastor for you. You want my mentor to hear me do or hear me say. This is how you should live your life. A man who is not tamed is like a loose cannon waiting to explode one day. That's hard, I know. And the same for a woman. Like a beast that's waiting to explode one day. And you explode. You get a sense of responsibility. Someone that can call you. The person might not be older than you. The person can be even younger than you. But a sense of accountability, my dear saint, is important. Very important. I'll look at this more maybe next week. Very important. If you read the scriptures, you see the act and practice of mentorship. Moses to Joshua, is that no mentorship? Elijah and Elisha, is that no mentorship? Paul and Timothy, is that no mentorship? Paul and Titus, the same thing. Jesus and his disciples, this is mentorship. A sense of accountability. When you say, if this person hears this thing, it will not be well. It will not be well with me. I'm not happy this person will hear this. So for those of us who are not married yet, right? Yeah, that's something you check. Who is this person's pastor? Let me tell you, even if the person said the father is late does not mean you should not find someone you should be accountable to. Are we here? The day I buried my father, the next day, I'm not talking about the next month, though, the next day, I knew who my father would have wanted me to be accountable to, and I messaged pastor. He's on my church. The next day, not next month. Because I knew what it is to be in this life without guidance. I imagine my life not having my father leading and guiding me, not as a role model and mentor. That's fine. So I knew that this life is so complex enough to not have someone that is accountable to you, else you begin to misbehave. The next day, we buried my father. The next day, message pastor immediately. I still have the record here. March 10th, March, I think 18th. So I said, oh, you remember I said it 17th, 18th, you remember? 17th of March 2018. That when they say, maybe tomorrow I start doing, maybe I say, should go and eat grass. You should be able to call somebody and say, this is when you people say, our pastor says, you should go and eat grass. So people come and tell me more. Very important, my dear family. Very important. Not somebody that you look up to. Somebody that will correct you. Someone that will play a fatherly role for you. Someone that will correct you. People don't like to be corrected. Amen. 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 People don't like to be what? Corrected. A man who doesn't like to be corrected is a foolish man. You know why? Because you think you know it all. And there's not a single man who knows it all. Every time your wife wants to correct you, your husband wants to correct you, you're always defensive. You're always thinking you're on the right. It's foolishness. That went to Harvard. It's foolishness. Yeah? There should be matters in your home that, you know, when you pass this level, you know anything you say will not work. Let there be somebody who comes in. And you know that your wife, your husband will regard and respect. You know, there's some marriages that have not scattered today because the wife or the husband just said, hi, because of this man. That in itself is a sense of accountability. If not because of this man. God, you know, you should be able to have those thank your stars moments. Say, if not because of this man. Have them. Let me tell you, they're saints. If you don't have them, start looking for them. And that's why, you know, so for some of us, we have the privilege of mentoring other people. As a mentor, learn to be content in life and learn to do well for yourself so that you're not dependent on people's pockets. Are we here? So that you can say the truth with your full chest. So there are some truths you don't need to mice. Do you understand? There are some truths you don't mice. You just say it. That's why get a sense of stability for your home. My dad taught me that before he left. You know, and he learned that late in life. He said, you see, as a pastor, right, ensure that you have a source of income to take care of your family. He taught me that. Because he lived most of his life, you know, serving in the ministry. In fact, when we were going to pay him salary in the former ministry, he told them not to pay him salary. He took out most of his days, checking to work every day. Work means church. He was reporting to church every day. But he told me, he said, Joshua, I learned this late. You know, my dad, I would just have a drive with him and he'd drive me around town. He would say, so, there's some things like this. My dad said to me, none of my siblings that my mother has ever heard. He said, you know this thing, you know that thing, do it this way, don't do this way. You know, I made this mistake. He would tell me straight. A mentor is the one that should guide you from making errors in your life because they've been on that path before. Your mentor is the one, I'll say it again, that should guide you from making errors in life because they've been on that path before. They should guide you from making errors in life because they've been on that path before. Your mentor is the one that should guide you, right, for making mistakes because they've been on that path before. The path you are going to, there's no path that anybody is going on today that you're the first to go on. Not one. You say, you know, my field is unique. It's a niche. It's a niche. Nobody has gone. No, there are people who have done something similar or close to it. So a mentor is the one that will guide you for making mistakes. A mentor is the one that is living in your future today. Did you get that? A mentor is the one that is living in your future where you want or need to be already there today. Living in your future today. Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Yeah, you need people who will be there to file you, waiting to be a battle axe. Yeah, so a mentor is somebody you need, a figure. Have that in your life. Let me tell you, my life, Pastor Shango is not my only mentor. Because there are places I want to be that he has not been there. Will Smith, I watched an interview with Smith. He said, it's only a foolish man that will follow a man as his mentor who has not been where he wants to go. Do you understand? I cannot mentor you in everything. Are you listening to me? Eh? Some of you have reached out to me, both Nigeria, yes, so Pastor, I want to mentor. I find it a privilege. But some of you even know, I tell you, you see, on this matter, I have not gotten it. Look for somebody else. You know why? Because I'm secured in myself. Do you understand? I'm secured. I'm saying I'm your pastor. I'm not successful in every field. So it means that I will meet people who are in fields that I've never been on that I cannot say so much about. So I'm going to do with God's word. So I have a real estate mentor. Right? I have a foreign exchange mentor. Right? I have a life coach. I have Myron Golden. I can mention one of his name for you, Myron Golden. Yes, so like I said, there's different mentorship and role model. Right? Because people who are already making some intentional things. There's a man called Paul, the one of Landmark. Right? There's people who you already started making contact with, and one day it will just explode. But you are training them. You are successful, but you're training them. You know, my first message to Paul, what's that son again? I always forget. Yeah, but the one that demolished it. That was him? No, not that's on the rock. Landmark Beach that was demolished. Yeah. You know? And it starts by a message. Just know I'm watching you. Just now, I'm seeing all your content. There's people I can tell you that I've watched every video they have online. All together, right? And there are some other matters like that I can tell you for free. This one, I don't really know so much. Now, I was telling someone about, visa interview. I can't remember what was on that conversation. That, you know, there's some things that I've studied on that I know about visa, right? And there's some things I don't know about. I don't know it all, right? So if I have a need for visa, for instance, let's say in the UK, right? I may not know so much about the Philippines. I may not give you so much advice about it. But there are people who have gone ahead of you. You know the man called Joseph? I'll look at that next properly. You know Joseph? That was asked to be the, you know, asked by Pharaoh and asked by Potiphar and all those things. You know, Potiphar's wife stole. Look at it on Sunday, right? For him to be put in that position of influence, he definitely had people he wasn't learning from. Yeah? A mentor will help you gauge your mouth. A mentor will teach you how to talk. A mentor will teach you where not to invest and how not to invest. There are times of the year you don't invest. You need a mentor. Experience is a good teacher, but it's not the best teacher. Sometimes experience of others are better for you. There are some mistakes my dad made. He had made it clear I'll be foolish to enter those mistakes again. Do you understand? Yeah, he has gone ahead, he has seen certain things, he has told me certain things I need to do. You cannot enter those things again. I'm saying to you that there are some things that your mentors go into and come out from, and they survive. But if you were to go, you might not survive. Experience counsel, don't allow Gen Z make you feel like you're on top of the world with ChatGPT. No one will be able to say, what an elder will stand. What another will sit and see. You will climb the tree. I might not see it. It's still true. You know, there's something called wisdom of the ancient. There's one called wisdom of it. There's some things you will know. See, there's some roads in this Edinburgh, right? That if I drive through that road and you drive through the road who is driving for the first time, there's some things you will make as a mistake. There's some things you will not escape from. There's some places you will hit your car on. Right? If you were to drive on the same speed on the same road. And there's a lot of people who have been driving better on that road. I'm trying to say that there are experiences that people have that have gone ahead of you. Identify those people, right, and merge yourself with them. Submit yourself to authority. Right? More often than not, people always, you know, have their pastors as their counselor and their marriage, you know, counselor and everything. But it's not every time that the pastor's jurisdiction might help in some issues. Right? That sometimes you need to read some books. That's what I was telling you. Invest in knowledge. Buy books. Buy materials. I'm not saying you go and read book of Jezebel or book of Enoch. Buy, you know, there are books that have reviews online, right? And there are some I can also recommend to you. Buy books, read them, study, grow in knowledge. Don't be only Bible boy. I'm not only a Bible boy. Amen. I'm not only a Bible boy, right? I read books in different spheres. I read books from different authors in different fields. Altogether, not everybody is a fast reader, right? But you can be a fast reader. It means you accumulate more books than you've read. You just be eating the wealth of people. My dad's greatest legacy that he left, one of the greatest things he left was his library. 2006 or 5, my father's library caught fire. I don't know, maybe somebody burnt it tomorrow. But the house caught fire. Remember, right? So his library was on one half of the house. And we were sleeping on one other half of the house. I woke up one day and everything was burnt. Before he left this world, he made sure he bought more books than what God burnt. And my dad values his library. My dad can have 100,000 today and buy 5,000 yogurt for us and 95,000 for book. You know why? He knew that there was lots of gaps in his growing up. He knew that he could get them back by reading. By reading. A man that has knowledge has edge. Don't let them tell you that I drop out of school. How many people have dropped out of school and are successful? And you went to school is 2 minus 2 they gave you. And you know, I not say you got, they gave you. Minus 2, you know, there's second class lower, third class lower that they gave you. Say, no, life is not by school. And I understand life is not by school, but it's not everybody that will be successful by dropping out of school. There's some edge. I remember when I got my NYC, the first thing they told NYC, you know, this is not my first class, I know. I can tell you for free. I'm almost 8 years out of first class. But at least get the first class first. You hear what I said? Get it first. We understand life is not by first class, but it comes out better for somebody who already has it in his pocket. I know life is not by first class. I can tell you for free. When I was doing my NYC, the company I worked for came to the NYC camp and asked the head of the Abuja state, coordinator. And he said, give me about 80 first-class graduates from all the schools in Nigeria. All the federal schools, all the private schools, all of us came together, wrote an exam in the camp. To work in that place, the first thing that qualified us was first-class in school. Then they put us down to 15, eventually 12, all first-class. And that's why I worked. People that are looking at us, then when money was money, they were envious of us because we were one of the highest paid. Okay, you remember, one of the highest paid in the whole nation, not in Abuja. In the own mission. What got me there? I first got the first. Get it first. Yeah? Not the one you are trying to be on serious with school. You are shouting, life is not by first class. You've not gotten anything. You are just trying to, you know, people like to make themselves feel okay. And I said, I'm telling you, you're not by first class. I'm telling you for free. But if you have the opportunity to get it, life is not about masters. I understand though. There are some jobs, the first thing they will say, we want masters holder. We understand these things, right? Yeah, you know, some of our children now, I won't be surprised when our children start growing. My time is up, right? Our children start growing. When your children start growing, I understand you cannot force things on your children, but at least be able to help them, guide them when they don't know what they are doing. I'm not saying you should make your children study law, study engineering. No. Life is beyond that right now. But you know, when you start seeing your child, just say it's just like fine arts. See, or you like football. It's a good thing to like football. Not every footballer is successful. Not every footballer will play in a club. German footballers are playing around the world that are known. Can you list 100 footballers? Let's say you can. How many people are in the world playing football? Go and play football in football academy. But you see, there are some things in education. At least get a degree if you can afford it. Just like your child likes fine arts. Okay, it's good, but ask them, what is it about fine arts? Can this be relevant in the coming days? Why not, okay, create a timetable, do finance, and let's do something about AI. Eh? So that we collabo. Not the one that everything you are doing is drawing. AI now starts drawing. I uploaded a picture of myself and my wife on AI a few months ago. I said you should give us a picture of, I just described something, and it drew it for me. You know, there are videos now that you can do with AI. Yeah, so you need to start thinking ahead. Help your children. I hope you've been blessed this morning.